This scripture reading and the following address were part of the YouTube streamed worship service from St. Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on July 21st, 2024. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
So today is the second week of a four-part series where we're looking at the thing we sometimes call stewardship. Giving as God gives is what I'm calling it. And last Sunday, for those that weren't here, we looked at, you know, being called into the household of God. And we just heard that in the reading from Ephesians that Janelle read. For my sermon text today, I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. They read like this. As servants of God, live as free people. Yet do not use your freedom as a pretext for evil. Honour everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honour the emperor. So far, the reading for today. If someone asked you, what's your vocation in life? What's your vocation? How would you answer, I wonder? I mean, over my life's journey, there have been so many new roles come into play that, you know, I don't even know the half of what people do anymore. One of the things I learned about recently, and I'm slow off the mark often, was a particular vocation that's known as a doula. A doula. Has anyone heard of doulas? Yes, many people. I've only just learnt of this. You can tell I'm slow off the mark. So I thought, what does a doula do? And it works out that a doula's role is often associated with birth. As I understand it, some people might have a role as birth doulas. That is, they're someone slightly different from a midwife insofar as generally, and forgive me if I'm getting this wrong, a midwife is medically trained, that goes without saying, in caring for women during a pregnancy and birth, whereas a doula is maybe someone of a companion, a coach, perhaps a supportive person for the woman and her partner, potentially, and she may not necessarily be medically trained. Doula. This vocation, this job, if you will, caught my eye and grabbed my attention because the word doula is an ancient Greek word, and it's used in scripture for, it's the female of servant or slave, servant or slave. The masculine sounds like it, it's called doulos, and some of you will have heard of that terminology before. It's found in the reading that I've just read in 1 Peter 2. It's also found in the book of Philippians, which we're going to invite you today into reading. In Philippians chapter 2, for example, we hear of this doulos word, where Paul writes, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, on the form of a servant, on the form of a doulos. You'll see where I'm going. Assuming human likeness. We might know these words from Philippians chapter 2 quite well, perhaps. Our Lord Jesus took on the form of a slave or a servant for you, for me, for all people, for the whole world. And Paul is here calling us to have the same mind as Christ, to give as God gives. Stewardship involves managing the way I live among the people that God gives me in all the various parts of my life. Who am I? Who are we? How do we live this out? And am I using the gifts that God has given me as God's servant in the best way? Our reading today in 1 Peter 2 calls us this way. As servants of God, live as free people, for that is who we are. Honour everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honour the emperor. as Paul is writing to the people at that time. We are God's new creation, accompanied by God's chief servant in our lives, in order that we might love and that we might serve, just as he has already and first loved us, loved you and me, and served us by his giving of himself on the cross. You and I are a whole of life douloi, if I can put it that way. That's the plural of this doula doulos thing. That's who we are, having the mind of Christ. In understanding what God is calling us to as stewards in the world today. It's helpful, I think, to ask, who am I as God's child, where and amongst the people that he places me? That's what we're going to frame this in today. But first of all, let's pray. Loving God, send your Holy Spirit afresh and new as we hear your word. Transform our minds to be like Christ. Move our hearts, our lives, to love as you have first loved us, and to give as you first give to us. Amen. So, vocations. If I was to come up to you, if I could come up to some people in the front pew this morning and say, "Hi, I'm a doulos and I'm here to help." Some of you might be a little bit sceptical about that, and I think I might be too. But you know, when we introduce ourselves or we meet another person for the first time, how do we go about it? It seems, in my small experience at least, that the conversation quickly turns to what I do. "Hello, my name's Neville and I'm a Christian pastor in the Lutheran Church," is the way that I often talk about myself. Or my Sue might say, "Hi, I'm Sue, I'm a teacher at Good Shepherd Lutheran School." Or you might fill out how you might do that. Who am I? We often think, I reckon, by these conversations and the way the world seems to operate around these things, that who we are is based on what we do. I heard there's an ad on the radio doing the rounds at the moment. It's from an employment agency, and it starts out by saying, "Our careers define us. Our careers define us." Is that what defines you? Maybe in part, I'm going to suggest, but is that all that defines who you are? As important as having work and the type of work that we do that might bring us some sort of satisfaction, as important as those things are, is that what gives you your identity and worth? Do you think? I think another way to think about this is the way that Luther spoke about it many years ago. As he looked at the scriptures, Luther came to the place, I think, that I pray that we can land in too, that it's not who we are or what we do that's of the highest import, but whose we are and how we live as God's people in the world today. You and I are God's new creation, created in his image. In baptism, God calls us his children. And as we heard in the readings after Easter this year in 1 John, John goes hard at saying, and that is who and what we are. In 1 John 3, for example, "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." That is what we are. And does it matter then, whatever job I'm doing or not doing? In a kind of upside down way compared to our society today, perhaps, Luther lived in a world where there was a hierarchy that had developed in, you know, how people saw you in society. Remembering, as Amanda launched before, we are all St. Paul's kids. That's what John has been saying. In Luther's day, though, there was this interesting hierarchy of spirituality that was going on. Going into a monastic order, leaving your family and workplace for a life perhaps of semi-isolated sacrifice and prayer, was somehow seen as, you know, more important, more spiritual, more something. Luther saw the folly of these extremes. And he wrote about this in this way. He talked about three God-given orders of life. And they may still be helpful for us today, and I'm just going to introduce them ever so briefly to us today. Luther spoke of the orders of my life in the church, and I've got a little church that's sitting before me. My life in family, and there's a lovely little family home living there. And my life in community, and there's a few little buildings before me that might suggest, you know, there's a school, there's my workplace, there's my friend's house, whatever it might be. Luther suggests that as a child of God, I live out my identity perhaps in these places, yeah? My situation in each of these places, Luther called my station in life, my station in life. So in the church, I'm a member of St. Paul's Lutheran congregation at Box Hill, and what a joy that is for me. And this congregation's part of the LCANZ. I'm also a pastor at the church and a pastor of the LCA. Each of these different places, these different stations, has a different calling for me. So Amanda, for example, issued us a call this morning. Could you consider whether you might be called at St. Paul's Box Hill as a member or a part of the community to be part of the children's ministry? What's my vocation in this station is the question. Sue and I, in a moment, are going to invite you into reading the scriptures, just as Amanda's speaking, as a whole community over these coming weeks. Is that part of the calling that I have in being a member of this church? We can apply the same questions to all of those parts of our lives. What does it mean in my family life? For me, my station in family life is that I'm a husband, is that I'm a dad, I'm a grandpa, I'm a brother, all of those sorts of things. What are my responsibilities? What's God calling me to in all of these sorts of places and spaces? Am I being a faithful steward of God's gifts in these relationships? That's the question, I reckon. And then as we go out into the world, into society, there are all sorts of questions that we can put in there as well. I live in Blackburn, I'm in Eastern Melbourne. What does that mean for my living in my community? Am I living out my baptismal identity as a child of God in the places and spaces where God places me is the question. It doesn't mean that we need to be superhuman in doing everything in every place. That is not the answer, I think. But the answer, I think, involves those listenings to God and His Word and the recognition of the things that He's given me to live as a human being and as a Christian, and those people about me who might also help me be guided into these spaces and these answers. Luther went on to say that our vocation is the mask behind which God works His new creation. And to get the neighbour loved. It's as if God dresses Himself in our clothes today to do His work on His earth. That's what it means for you and me to be stewards in life, I think. Wherever we are called, and listen to this part, I think this is amazing, we are called to usher in where we go and by what we do, to usher in God's new creation. That's amazing. We are set free from the powers of sin, death, and the devil through the cross of Jesus, and we're called to live that out in the world. God has rescued me from death and the devil and made me His child through His grace in Jesus. That's your story and mine. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I've been set free, and I'm free to serve my Lord in every sphere of my life. And in the healthy ways of doing that, I witness by my faithful stewardship to Christ, for I am the mask of God at work in the world. There are lots of examples, if we go through the scriptures, of good stewards. But I'm going to mention the one that's the most inspiring to me. It tells a story of someone who had, it seems, little importance, no high station in life, no real human power. But God, though, had a new life, a new creation plan for this young woman. And she accepted it in the most amazing way, it seems to me, in a simple response of faith. It's perhaps, as I say, the very best response of a good steward to God's grace in our lives. It's a story that you probably know well. It's told in Luke chapter 1, when the angel of God, the messenger of God, comes to a certain young lady called Mary, a descendant of David. She lived in an obscure town, Nazareth in Galilee, tucked away in a dusty, despised backwater of the Roman Empire, nonetheless. And she was told by this messenger of God that she would bear the Christ child. And you know what her response is? Go to Luke chapter 1, please. It's the most wonderful response of faith. I am the Lord's servant, she says. I am the Lord's doula. This is my God-given vocation. May it happen to me as you have said. You are my child. You are my creation. That's what God says of you and me. Have my mind and serve with your whole life with the gifts I give you. Wherever you go and to wherever I take you, just live it out faithfully. In every part of your life, I will serve you. Go and do likewise. And Jesus goes with us. Next week, we're going to consider what this means for the financial aspects of our lives. But for now, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the giver of abundant love, the giver of abundant grace and gifts through your Son, the servant King. Help me and help us to receive and live a grace-filled life and to respond to your call just like Mary did. Let it be to me as you have said. Help me to believe your promises and to give my unqualified yes to your call and your plan for me. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.